The good news according to St. Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Luke 12, verses 22 to 34. And he said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, that is a beautiful gospel lesson from Luke 12. But I would like to focus on our Old Testament lesson, actually, from Genesis 15. And I want to go back to Genesis 15, where God makes an outrageous promise to Abram, who was later known as Abraham. God said, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your reward. Your reward will be very great." You know, there are things that I fear, things that I worry about, and a promise of protection, a promise of peace, a promise of great reward sounds absolutely wonderful to me, which is why I am stunned at Abram's initial reaction. He just blew God off. He didn't want to hear it. In fact, the first words out of his mouth were words of complaint and disappointment and disbelief. Here's why. At least 10 years earlier, described in Genesis chapter 12, God had promised Abram that he would be the patriarch of a great nation. He'd have thousands upon thousands, maybe millions, of descendants. But for that to happen, he'd have to have at least one child born in his lifetime. And it didn't happen. At least it hadn't happened yet. Over 10 years had passed since this promise, and now he was in his mid-80s or late 80s, and his wife Sarah was only 10 years behind him. And they still had no children. So maybe Abram's complaining and his reluctance to believe God was justified, which makes sense, given that God had not followed through on what he said he'd do. So here's a question. Why has the name Abraham and faith become almost synonymous? There is an assumption in the church among us that Abraham was a man of great faith. And he was, absolutely. Sometimes. But more often, it seems, his faith wavered and flip-flopped and failed, just like our faith. In Genesis 15, after expressing doubt in God's promises, after complaining that God never had followed through on his commitments to him, Abraham's gaze was directed up into the sky. And God told Abram to count the stars if he could, which of course he couldn't. And then God said, "So shall your offspring be." In other words, Abram was going to have more descendants than he could possibly imagine. The last verse we read says, in this section, Abram believed the Lord, and the Lord counted his faith as righteousness. So even the Apostle Paul points back to that statement to extol the faith of Abram. So does that mean at that point, after looking up into the heavens, that Abram finally quit doubting and had faith in God's promises? No! In the very next chapter, Genesis 16, instead of believing God's promise that he and Sarah would have a child, he agreed to impregnate Hagar, Sarah's servant, because neither he nor Sarah really believed that Sarah would ever get pregnant. They didn't believe that God would do what God had promised to do. By the way, if you don't know the rest of the story, Sarah did have a baby. Read Genesis 21. You know, if it seems strange to you that God would use a blatant flip-flopper like Abraham to be his poster boy for faith, there's a reason. There's a reason God uses Abraham as the poster boy for faith. It's the same reason a murderer and an adulterer like King David was extolled as a man after God's own heart. It's the same reason that a coward and a liar like Peter was considered the prince of the apostles. The reason is God uses human beings to accomplish his purposes here on earth. And all human beings, even you and me, are deeply, deeply flawed. But God chooses to use the material he's got, and it's us. In our epistle lesson, in Hebrews 11, the very first verse says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." There are things that we cannot see, things we cannot prove or explain, and there are things that we cannot anticipate because we cannot see the future. Some things in life we can only navigate with faith. And here's an example. I sent an email to everybody a couple weeks ago about our friend, theologian Chad Bird. About 6 months before the pandemic, in September of 2019, Chad Bird came to Christ the Vine. He'd been one of my professors at seminary, and an absolutely brilliant guy. And while I was one of the oldest students at the seminary, he was by far the youngest man on the faculty. Many of you know his story. He lost his prestigious job, he lost his beautiful family, and for a time he lost his sanity after having an extramarital affair. He went from teaching graduate courses and writing commentaries on Hebrew texts to loading boxes onto Federal Express trucks. His contract with a publisher for books yet to be written was canceled. He contemplated suicide. At one point, he held a loaded gun to his temple as he sat on the floor of his empty apartment. Eventually, he began writing again, but not academic books, books for a wider audience. He began speaking publicly. He started a popular podcast. When Chad came to Christ the Vine, the night before he was to speak, Marta and I picked up Chad and his new wife, Stacy, from their hotel. As we drove, we talked about our time at seminary. We started the same year. I was a student, and Chad was a professor. For a good part of our time, Chad talked about his son, Luke, who was a baby and a toddler when I was at seminary. Luke had just graduated from high school and had been accepted into the Naval Academy in Annapolis, Maryland. He was an excellent student and a good wrestler in high school. As Chad talked, the thought occurred to me that after all that had happened, Chad feared that he had really damaged his two children and was deeply thankful that Luke had turned out so well. He loved his kids. The following public announcement was released a couple weeks ago. On Saturday, July 16th, 2022, our son, Luke Gabriel Bird, was killed in a hiking accident in Chile. He was 21 years old. As a midshipman in the United States Military Academy, he was studying abroad at the Chilean Military Academy this year. Luke is a baptized child of our Heavenly Father, beloved and forgiven in Jesus. We know he is with our Lord, who is the resurrection and the life. That is our confidence and our consolation, even as we sit here with broken hearts and numb souls. Here's why I read this. In this tragic situation, the only place that this broken family can turn is to their faith. Faith is the conviction of things not seen, the assurance of things hoped for, assurance that their son is in heaven, conviction that they'll see him again. I want to point out what was said and what was not said. Luke is a baptized child of our Heavenly Father, beloved and forgiven in Jesus. We know he is with our Lord. That's what was said. Chad could have said something like this: Luke never missed Sunday school or youth group. We know he is with our Lord. Or maybe Luke committed his life to Christ at age 10. We know he's in heaven. Or he could have said, at the Naval Academy, Luke led three of his classmates to the Lord. We know he's in heaven. But he didn't say any of those things. He just said, Luke was a baptized child of our Heavenly Father, beloved and forgiven in Jesus. That's because Luke's in heaven. But Luke had nothing to do with it. Luke simply received a gift, the gift of faith, faith in Christ. It was Christ who saved Luke, not Luke. Luke was buried with Christ in baptism. And now he's been raised with Christ. Read Romans 6. So why is that important? Because just like Abraham and King David and the Apostle Peter and Luke Gabriel Bird, You and I are deeply flawed human beings. But just like Abraham, David, Peter, and Luke Gabriel, God gives us faith. Not perfect faith, but faith in Christ, adequate for salvation. And He counts our faith, as feeble as it may be, He counts our faith in Christ as perfect righteousness in His eyes. And for that reason, you and I, all of us, can be at peace and know that despite the truth that your faith and my faith wavers and waffles and flip-flops and fails, and know the truth that we are sinfully unrighteous and we always wrestle with our sin, despite all of that, God is always faithful toward you. His faith is always perfect, and His forgiveness never fails. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great love and compassion and mercy and forgiveness toward us. Lord, help us to understand as best we can the wonderful gift of faith that You have given to us, and cause us to be filled with gratitude toward You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.